from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, January 3rd. Coming up, while many fields of research are seeing more funding from the federal government year to year, the agriculture sector is on a downward financial spiral. We'll learn more from Harvest Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The new year means many of Illinois' minimum wage workers got a raise. Alex Stegman reports.
The statewide minimum wage is now $13 an hour for non-tipped employees. If you receive tips, you should now be at $7.80. And if tips don't get you to $13, your employer has to make up the difference. The wage will continue to go up by $1 an hour each January 1st until it hits $15 in 2025. Those younger than 18 working fewer than 650 hours a year now get $10.50 an hour. The rates don't apply in the city of Chicago or suburban Cook County, which have their own higher rates. The city raised its minimum wage for employers with more than 21 workers to $15.40 an hour in July. The tip wage is $9.24. Cook County raised its hourly rate to $13.35 in July. Tipped employees there get $7.80 in line with the rest of the state. I'm Alex Stegman.
The Illinois Supreme Court has halted the abolition of the cash bail system in the state. The court ordered Saturday that portions of the Pretrial Fairness Act will not go into effect until further notice, quote, in order to maintain consistent pretrial procedures throughout Illinois. The bail system overhaal was thrown off when a judge in Kankakee County on Wednesday ruled ending cash bail is unconstitutional. The law was set to go into effect Sunday in some counties, like Champaign, Cook, and Lake, but not others, like Macon, McLean, and Vermilion. Two suburban states' attorneys filed a motion Friday requesting the high court maintain consistent pretrial procedures throughout the state in light of the circuit court ruling. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul also appealed to the state Supreme Court to overturn that ruling on Friday. The court is preparing to hear arguments on the act. Before you get rid of your fresh-cut Christmas tree, you may want to donate it to a farm in White Heath. Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick explains why.
Mitch Gardner runs Goats on the Go, Champaign-Urbana. On the gray, wintry day I visited his farm in Whiteheath, 40 of his goats and a few sheep awaited a green, fresh-cut Christmas tree.
So this time of year, all we have is dried hay that their diets mainly consist of, so and some grain. But, you know, this is a good way for them to get some live vegetation.
For nutritional reasons, the goats only consume one tree a day. This is the first year he's accepted trees from strangers. During the summer, Gardner rents out his herd to help clear pine and cedar. I'm Reginald Hardwick, Illinois Newsroom.
If you'd like to donate a fresh Christmas tree before January 13th, take it to a trailer at Meridian Street and Sunset Lane in Whiteheath, just off I-72 near the Piatt and Champaign County border. The Fighting Illini football team fell to Mississippi State yesterday in the ReliaQuest Bowl 19-10. The game was tied at 10 apiece before the Bulldogs kicked a go-ahead field goal with 4 seconds left. Then Mississippi State returned a lateral for a touchdown on the game's final play to close out the scoring. Illinois head coach Brett Bielema says he hopes the team's 8-5 season is a springboard to even bigger things.
Bottom line, we played some really good football this year, and then we played some games that weren't that good, and those are the games that ended up getting us in the end. And then today, again, did some good things against a good football team that won 8 games in the SEC conference, and we didn't do enough good things to make us win today, and that unfortunately hurts, but it's part of the process.
Receiver Isaiah Williams led the Illini with 114 yards on 9 catches. The 8 wins were the most in a season for Illinois since 2007. Mississippi State was playing without head coach Mike Leach, who passed away last month. Still to come, a look at the decline in funding for agricultural research and some possible consequences. That story from Harvest Public Media is next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The federal government spends billions of dollars every year on agriculture research, that is, research that helps advance farming technology. That funding has fallen by a third over the past 2 decades. As Dana Cronin reports for Harvest Public Media, that decline has implications for agriculture's ability to adapt to climate change.
Gwen Beatty tugs open the frosty door to her lab's industrial-style freezer, which houses thousands of plant and bacteria samples. It starts beeping angrily at her.
And you can't have it open too long or else it beeps at you and says, I don't want to warm up.
Beatty is a professor of plant pathology at Iowa State University. She recently received a big grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to study drought resiliency in crops, a subject of increasing importance.
There's not a sustainable amount of available fresh water for agriculture everywhere in the way we're going. So we really need plants that can thrive with less water.
But federal funding for that research is becoming more scarce. According to the USDA, federal funding levels for agriculture research are the same now as they were in the 1970s. Meanwhile, China has surpassed the U.S. in its agriculture research funding. Brazil, a major competitor in ag exports, has also increased its funding. Beth Ford is the CEO of ag giant Land O'Lakes. Speaking at a recent public event, she said she's worried the U.S. is falling behind in preparing for agriculture's stark future.
We're going to have less arable land, less available water in the future. We know this. And at the same time, population is set to go to 9.5-10 billion. By 2050, we have to produce more food than the last 5,000 years combined.
That should be an eye-opener, she says. But while public funding for ag research has fallen over the past two decades, private funding from companies like Land O'Lakes has shot up. Iowa State University, for example, has seen a 50% increase in company-funded research over just the last 2 years, and agriculture has been at the forefront of that. Gabrielle Resch McNally does agriculture research with American Farmland Trust. She says relying on corporations for funding could skew the overall research agenda.
They're looking for ways that research can develop products, you know, tangible, intangible, that people will spend money on that will increase their base of profit.
Research is a public good, she says, and it should mostly be up to the federal government to fund it.
I think it's a danger to move to a system where the government that, yes, albeit influenced by politics, that it has the public interest in mind more than any other entity and can take a broader view.
Research dollars are determined by Congress via the Farm Bill, which is set for reauthorization next year. Gordon Merrick is the Policy and Programs Manager with the Organic Farming Research Foundation. He advocates in Washington, D.C. for more ag research funding, which he says can be a tough sell.
Agricultural research especially is like slow, it's methodical, there's no crazy cutting edge new way to organically control bindweed that hits the airwaves.
Earlier this year, the Senate increased the research budgets for agencies including the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, and the Department of Energy. The USDA, however, saw another budget decrease when accounting for inflation. Iowa State Professor Gwen Beatty says that's a dangerous trend.
It's in all of our best interest to have food security. Food security is not only good for food, but it's actually also for political stability and world stability. And the only way to have food security is to have enough knowledge and resources to continue to produce food even in the face of adverse conditions.
And when, in the era of climate change, has the world ever faced such adverse conditions? For Harvest Public Media, I'm Dana Cronin.
Harvest Public Media's Katie Pikus contributed to this report. Harvest is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WILL. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms at a high of 64 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Stegman, Katie O'Connell, Reginald Hardwick, and Dana Cronin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.